Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Christina Hines. I just wanted to share something with those callers and listeners who were concerned about a leader of the opposition if there is any change following the St. George by election. And I refer you to Article 74 of the Constitution of Barbados, which states, and I'm going to read this part directly, whenever the Governor General has occasion to appoint a leader of the opposition, he shall appoint the member of the House of Assembly who, in his judgment, in this case her, is best able to command the support of a majority of those members who do not support the government. Or, if there is no such person, the member of that House who, in his judgment, commands the support of the largest single group of such members who are prepared to support one leader. That is 74-2. And a bit later down, 74-4, we are told in the Constitution, if in the judgment of the Governor General, the leader of the opposition no longer is able to command the support of a majority of those members of the House of Assembly who do not support the government, or as the case may be, the support of the largest single group of members who are prepared to support one leader, the Governor General may revoke the appointment of the leader of the opposition. So there's nothing in here that says that in this hypothetical situation, if one of the other candidates from St. George North besides Tony Moore wins, there will be an automatic change of the leader of the opposition. However, it is possible that the Governor General can use her discretion to decide if to revoke the appointment of the leader of the opposition. Let's go to the phones. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Yeah, thanks. Let me resume in. Thanks. I'll go back to say what I was saying before the break, right? I'll just conclude in a while. Right. They also said that Senator Moore was selected and stated that it wasn't transparent, but yet all of the parties, they did the same thing by selecting their candidates.
Oh.
Right? government recently appointed 3,100 acting and temporary employees, and Mr. Adley was critical of it and questioned the timing. Prime Minister Morley said CBC was prepared to make broadcast time available for three election debates. The opposition is obviously upset about this, and we just heard in the top line there in the news, right? Then they questioned the wisdom of holding the by-election in a COVID-19 environment. Can anyone tell us when the end date for COVID-19? No one knows that, so things still have to happen. Actually, we can only mitigate the risk because all activities within Barbados have been resumed with the COVID protocols in place. It is noted as well that there were and are upcoming general elections, not even by elections, both regionally and globally. So I'm not getting where the opposition parties are coming from. They're not bringing any issues to the table. Okay. And to my mind, they're not prepared for the by-election.
I just heard one of the issues being brought to the table during that news break, employment. I mean, people, the opposition parties have been raising things. You just don't think that they're proper issues.
The DLP is the last boy to talk about unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last boy to raise that. This is nothing that happened the last 2.5 months.
Okay.
This is an ongoing thing with them who's at fault. They're who are at fault. So they can't put that on the present administration. They're trying to.
Oh, but that wasn't the DLP that raised this. That was the Solutions Barbados. There are other candidates besides the DLP and BLP candidates.
Who's mm-hmm. ever raised it, right? It's not necessarily at their feet, at the BLP. We found a broken country.
We, the people in Barbados,
they left a broken country.
Okay.
Right? So the country had to now come out the ditch. So they were doing fairly well until the entry of COVID. So we have another start here. So about unemployment is nothing new.
That's true. Right? I think the previous government made a similar kind of argument that we were coming to, starting to come out of the ditch, but then there was a global ditch, but then there was a global financial crisis, and we have not been able to weather the storm. I'm not saying that any of this is an excuse for anything, but I am saying that there always is an external factor or a mitigating factor, especially as a small state.
The financial downturn only lasted 2 years.
In some places.
From 2009 to 2007 to 2009.
But the effects of it may have lasted longer. Well, the effects may have lasted. So COVID may only last in some people for 2 weeks, but they may have effects that they feel after. So I'm not trying to defend any government, but what I am saying is that these are arguments that we hear that we would have done so well were it not for global financial crisis, were it not for COVID, were it not for 9/11, and we could go on and on.
They were warned inside the Barbados, outside the Barbados, and they had not taken note to what people were saying. They borrowed from the central bank $6 billion. Over the 10-year period there in office, $6 billion. The government, the former governor, central bank said that if they didn't provide $50 million monthly for the government, they could not pay wages and salary. That's $6 billion over a 10-year period. And the list goes on and on and on. They took Barbados national debt when they came in office in 2008 from $4 billion. $14 billion.
Okay.
Right. So they created their own problem.
Our problem, I suppose.
Well, yes, our problem.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for your call. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. What I'm calling about is about COVID-19 and the wearing of face masks.
Yes.
Now I understand the importance of wearing face masks in the fight against the COVID. I'm seeking to get some feedback from someone on the COVID team or the medical fraternity who can tell me whether or not the face masks with the exhalation valves, whether they are safe to wear in this fight against the COVID-19. What I'm seeing, I'm seeing information on the internet and YouTube that is saying that the valves, you know, the exhalation valve is the mask that has this plastic.
Yes, I know the
one. On the outside.
And some of them have two.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing a lot of information. I have been seeing it quite a while now on the internet and YouTube. And even the CDC site has said that they do not recommend the wearing of these masks with the exhalation valves to use against COVID. What they're saying is that when a person exhales, their breath goes straight out into the atmosphere. It's not the breath that the person exhales is not filtered breath. It goes straight out into the atmosphere. So then it would probably mean that if a person who's sick and is not aware, whether they're aware or not aware, whether they're symptomatic or asymptomatic, they might put on one of these masks and figure the persons around them are safe because they're wearing a mask, but may not know that their breath is going straight out into the environment and may affect other people around them.
Right.
So I want to know whether or not this is true, and if it is, then the public should be made aware, you know, because people would unknowingly maybe be wearing them and not know what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. That is what I would like to know.
I think it's a good question to ask. There are a lot of things that we are still not fully certain about. I know some of those masks that have the valves, there is also a slot that you can put a filter into the mask. I'm not sure if that makes a lot of difference. And I've seen these filters selling that are carbon filters.
Yes.
I don't know if that is just to give us a sense of comfort or if it actually does anything. But I have also read some of these reports. I know there are some employers who've also recommended that their staff members don't wear those ones with the valve, that well, they wear, you know, either the surgical or the cloth masks.
Yes. No, you mentioned the filters. No, I think that's why I'm saying the public probably needs to be aware about these particular masks as well, because I saw someone wearing one, and I was curious, and I was asking them, so how often you have to change your filter? And the person was like, what filter? They weren't aware that there was a filter that needed to be changed either.
Mm-hmm.
No, this particular mask as well, I'm seeing, you know, more people wearing them. There are people also making face masks here and putting in those valves in them. It is true that you breathe easier when you have it on. It's good for the wearer, but it may not be good for other people around the person if that person is sick.
Okay.
So I've seen, as I said, I've been looking it up, and up to last night, I saw on the Mayo Clinic, they had something there saying they don't even allow people on their facilities wearing those types of masks.
Mm-hmm.
The CDC is saying they do not recommend them, not for COVID. And I'm seeing that some airlines probably banned some passengers from boarding with those masks on. And then I see there's some businesses actually banning people from coming in wearing them. So I, in Barbados, I want to know if, you know, if this is something that the public just needs to be aware of and try to avoid wearing them where possible, or a suggestion was even made on one of the sites that if you have one of these particular masks with the exhalation valve, it, to be safe, you can put a layer of a cloth mask over it.
Okay.
So that, you know, that would help stop your, you know, anybody that's sick would help stop the virus from going into the atmosphere.
Okay.
So I just need some feedback on that from someone who knows more about these things and not just maybe reading it.
All right. Well, if there is some recommendation from the Ministry of Health or the COVID unit or medical practitioners out there, it would be useful to have that. But as I said, I think there is some concern over these masks with the filters, not the filters, the valve. So perhaps if you are concerned, you can make your own determination, but clearly that doesn't protect you from what others decide to do. So,
no, I'm concerned, yes, and because I've taken the time to look up certain things, but not everybody may take the time to check further. So that's why I'm saying that it would be good if someone in the medical fraternity can research it, or if they have contacts that they could contact and get more information, just to let the public know if it is safe or what we can do to make them safe or not try to avoid wearing them, or just give us some feedback.
Okay. Well, thank you for raising this publicly, and we'll wait and see if we do get a response.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. Good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Your name is Dr. Hines?
Yes.
Oh, good afternoon, Dr. Hines. I did want to talk about two things, but it got to be three very quickly. Now, this Indian lady, Pakistan, whatever it is, drive by my house, and beside my well, she threw a big bag of rubbish. Now, I never catch her. But if I did catch that lady, you know, you ever watch the series Hulk?
The series what?
Hulk.
Hulk?
That turned into green.
Yes.
I would fling her so far she go back where she come from. Hear me? Why on earth would you stop your car to throw out rubbish at somebody's house? I've got a big rubbish bin there. Huh? My neighbor's got rubbish bin. Put it in it or take it back where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And that is why the flooding is going on in Barbados. These
people flooding, rodents.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I'm trying my best to clean up and I'm with my water problem. This stupid woman come and if I did catch her, I am so mad still. I think I grew 100 gray hair right now. Here,
oh, dear, don't gray yourself over this.
Listen, the next thing is to the lady that talk about she owns guest houses or guest house, and well, that lady, sorry, my darling, you got something is wrong in your head. Because if you know somebody was told to stay in for their COVID test for 7 days and they're going out. And if they go out, when the police come or the COVID people, they'll be there waiting for her to take her where she got to go. Because right now, my cousin husband is staying in the West Coast Hotel, and he spent $700 for the 3 nights or whatever. He comes from the UK, and he's gone straight here, and he hasn't come out. He has not. All he did is go on the balcony where his little balcony is and look out. He don't go nowhere. He's, you know, getting his test done.
Right. So there are tighter controls that need to be in place. People need to ensure that if they have accommodation, that they are, if they're taking guests, that they manage the guests.
Yes, and that's what she was wrong, because if she don't want them in, then don't take no one in. Because you come on the air and you make yourself look silly. Because you know the person's supposed to stay in for 7 days. And you say you're not going to do nothing, you're not going to stop them. I don't believe she have a guest house. She just come on the air to talk rubbish.
Well, I couldn't say so, but why don't we say that people need to pay closer attention to the regulations and the rules? Perhaps people need to read the documentation that they're provided relating to COVID, the protocols for different sectors and areas of work. So let's encourage people to do that so that they know what their responsibilities are, what the actual rules are, and we are not making mistakes that can endanger our health, other people's health, and the like.
But what the trouble is, the next thing is, right, my son came in during the COVID time, and he did, you know, part of his negative test. But when he came, he stayed home for 7 days. He didn't even come out the house. It's only 8 days he come out, you know, because he get the test and everything was okay. They get let him do a test. But right now what the government are trying to get in quick is a wristband that they will, you know, track them. Like we have in Jamaica, you got the tracking band and they got it, or you got it on your phone. They can track you. You understand where you go?
Yes, I understand.
That's it. So that's what the government is trying to do. No.
And you think that's a better idea, to have the wristband?
Yes. And the and it goes on your phone that they can track you where you are.
Okay.
Because if they was told to stay home, like my my cousin husband, he's got his own home, but he wasn't allowed to go to his own home until they get the test. He got to self-isolate in a hotel or go to where Harrison Point, is it?
Yes.
And he choose the hotel. Right? So I think those are the options the government is trying its best, to do. And they talk about they want answers. Now, I never want to speak this again because I promised myself not to. 10 years, the DLP of the government running down. When they went into power, they get $2.8 billion in the treasury or whatever you call it. And when we get power, we only find about 3 weeks import.
Who's we?
And we are trying our best.
You're talking about the Barbados Labour Party government now?
Yes. Okay. The Barbados Labour Party are trying. They come in. I don't know how Miss Monty, the Prime Minister, how she and her cabinet, how they manage. Because
everybody says they try their best. Maybe the best is not good enough sometimes, but
we come in and find 24 downgrade, you know. 24 downgrade. And one time we asked the Prime Minister about the downgrade, he said, well, the people ain't downgrade. Remember? That was on record, the TV and the radio. Right? 24 downgrade. No country in the world would lend Barbados money. If they did lend us, the rate was so high. It wouldn't be. They went to United Kingdom, the central bank governor and the minister Chris Sinclair did went, and they come back empty-handed. No country would lend money. Now everybody's trying to.
No country would lend money, but we were also told that the debt level was so high. Did we really want to borrow money anyway?
But now, look, everyone is clustering now to lend us money, because they find a government that is understanding how to run a country.
But I thought we were concerned about the debt level, so should we actually be trying to borrow money?
Because we have the debt level to pay what the DLP left us in. They get a country that didn't have no debt.
I don't think that's true, though. Barbados was not debt-free in 2008. That is not a fact.
We were managing.
Okay.
We were living. People was working. They laid off nearly 4,000 people. We laid off 1,000. And they're talking about people laying off from jobs.
All right. Huh? Well, I think, you know, these are decisions that governments make. You clearly are on a particular side, and some might say that is coloring your evaluation, but you're entitled to your opinion. And I think the rest of the listeners are as well. Thank you so much for your call. Good afternoon, Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
This is Ben. Okay, I'm just speaking.
Yes, sir.
And I'm identifying myself because I have some familiarity with
okay.
how Parliament works.
Uh-huh.
And I look at the Constitution, and you're preempting me for so long.
Oh.
You had quoted the section of the Constitution that deals with the appointment of an opposition leader.
Yes.
The last part of what you said, though,
mm-hmm.
is a bit misleading.
How so?
Because it presents that the Governor General could just arbitrarily use her discretion. But she could use her discretion in the way if... for example, let's use the case when Ms. Motley was the leader of the opposition.
Yes.
And she was replaced. Her mm-hmm. peers, they had their own problems with her.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the Governor General and said, well, we want to have her moved. And therefore, she did not have a majority.
Yes.
So the Governor General then, in her discretion, in that context, the Governor General then removed her as opposition leader, and they picked another person who had the majority. Mm-hmm. This was Owen Arthur.
Right,
so that's a precedent you can look at.
We're agreed but there. Mm-hmm.
I'm also looking at the situation where the DLP, where they had two members of parliament. That was David Thompson
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Kelman.
Yes.
And... Fortunately, I don't know. Mr. David Thompson was the leader of the opposition before. Okay?
Yes.
So apparently they would have used precedent, perhaps, and David Thompson remained the opposition leader.
Right.
I mean, there's a consideration that Kelman may have wanted to be the opposition leader. He would have wanted to have a chance to be opposition leader. And David Thompson also wanted to be opposition leader. And there were only two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the Governor General had to use discretion in that context. And it might have been based on the fact that David Thompson was a senior member, and he, in terms of being in Parliament, because mm-hmm. in Parliament, seniority counts for a lot.
Yes.
Even in the protocols, the persons who have been around for the longest time, like for the opening of the throne speech,
yes. mm-hmm.
you would have seen that Mr. Payne, mm-hmm. one of the one up front, because he was the longest-serving member of the Barbados Labour Party. It was not Mae Motley, because Mr. Payne wasn't there from 1991. She came in 1994. And, for example, in the case where everybody comes in at the same time, like a number of them came in 1994, then they will use chronological age in order for precedence.
Okay.
So I get now to the case now where we have Mr. Avley. He's the only person... So he is the opposition leader.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to go quickly.
Yeah, okay. But if we have another person coming there, unless Mr. Avley agrees to defer to them, the Governor General will have to use her discretion.
Yes,
and
I agree with you again.
And based on the precedent set, most likely he would remain. But if Mr. Avley makes an accommodation, a lot of factors could change. Right?
And then there's still the discretion. So... we don't know what will happen. And all of this, again, hinges on the outcome of the St. George North by election. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. All right. Well, this is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Christina Hines. The numbers are 434-1790, the WhatsApp 266-4862. Do we have a caller?
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. First time calling you Dr. Hines.
Okay. Let's
a
talk.
Couple of, yeah, I would like to compliment you on, so far, you seem to be fair
mm-hmm.
and not very confrontational. That is appreciated. But I want to get to St. George North.
Okay, let's get
right. All right. No, I don't believe, regardless of what happened, suppose Riffle wins.
Right.
Right? I don't think the Governor General would take down Adderley.
Why not?
Because he met the requirements for an opposition. He was elected by the people. He went before the Governor General mm-hmm. and was approved. You understand? Not only that, subsequent to that time, he have organized himself. Mm-hmm. And I am no fan of Adderley.
Right.
Because, well, we have to admit the truth. Where would we be going if Reefer is elected? Now, I would like Ding Ding to win. Anybody except the Barbados Labour Party representative, because, you know, it is not the best thing for this nation mm-hmm. to give them another seat in Parliament. That is my personal view.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? So, Adderley, in my opinion, is legitimate, even though I don't trust him for two reasons.
Well, that's an opinion.
And I think that we need a pit bull type, if you understand what I mean. You need a pit bull type to carry the fight to this
maybe.
Government.
Jack Russells are also quite, you know, noisy and useful,
if you've
even
been
though they don't
the
have
trend,
the same bite.
A lot of people, well, I don't know if he has been detoothed during the last election or what. As your people say, he lost his beggars, you know. But anyhow, a person, a personality like that is what you need, because you have a leader in responding.
Soft is a bad thing, though? When you say soft, what do you mean?
Listen.
Soft is nice,
there
though.
There is a measure. You can even read it in the body language from the police force, the MPs, whoever, usually whoever she come in contact with, you find the body language change.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. You understand? So there's a measure of fear on the lane that people in this nation have to deal with. And she's going to ride on that wave for as long as she can.
Who are we talking about here? The Prime Minister?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I would just say in response, once again, I don't know what decision the Governor General would make if this situation comes to pass. I don't know that any of these candidates who may be elected would be a better or a worse leader of the opposition. But what I understand is that it is possible for Mr. Adderley to be replaced as the leader of the opposition. This is a possibility, and we should be aware that it is a possibility. What will happen is to be seen, because this is all speculative. We don't know what's going to happen in St. George North, so
that's
we may
true.
Be talking about this, and it may be neither here nor there. I do understand people's concerns about democracy and their desire to have more people on the other side.
Exactly.
But this is left to the people of St. George North to decide, in as much as it affects in some ways our national politics. It is a small segment of the population that has the ability to make this decision. And I wonder the extent to which they are thinking about an opposition leader, democracy, or if they are thinking about what needs to happen in their constituency and in their individual communities.
Well, if you understand the history of Barbados, politics and voters,
mm-hmm.
it's a very self-serving sort of environment and or exercise. You know, people, well, if I can get what I want. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, good. Because people are usually of this mindset. If they can give me this, or I can get that, you know, then that's it. And then the politicians only want to get elected, and they will make you all sorts of promises that, no, they can't keep.
But how effective would an opposition of even two people be, in your opinion? Because you were putting forward the argument that there needs to be some check on,
yeah.
Well, you were saying the Prime Minister in particular, but let's say the government. How effective can an opposition that is one or two people be? Can any opposition be?
Point taken.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a statement going to the administration.
Okay.
You know, we believe in democracy. We don't believe in a one-party state. We don't want anybody that can rubble rose and take control and do whatever they like when they like. There are to be rules that should be in place. And part of that control is having an opposition.
Okay, fair enough.
All
Thank
right.
you for Thank your you call. For
your... Okay.
Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Hines. The discussion about if there is two people on the opposition benches and they're from separate parties is pretty interesting. What I would suggest is that people seem to have forgotten that Mr. Azadi has a horse in the race as well too. So if he can get his horse over the line, then this will be a moot discussion. But nonetheless, I've done a bit of research on this topic, and truth be told is that there's no settled precedent on this matter. Just a cursory glance over at Canada, where it has happened not altogether in their House of Assembly, but certainly in their provincial assemblies. There's a whole different types of approaches people have taken. What they seem to have settled on in Canada, however, is that the incumbent should maintain that position of opposition leader.
Mm-hmm.
You also have a situation where even one thing that people have not even spoken about is that even the salary of the opposition leader, who gets that salary? What is determined in Canada is that in the situation where there's a tie, that they're prepared to pull the money together, the money for the opposition leader and for another for a member of parliament, and split it between the two people. So there's a whole range of issues that that can be confronted on that score. But what I would also want to raise as someone who has been doing a lot of research on national constitutions over the last few years,
yeah.
What I would like to suggest as one of the interesting things that I discovered is that in Puerto Rico, what they have as a state, they have a situation where if there's ever a situation where there's a majority, a supermajority as we have here in Barbados right now, that you can even increase the numbers in the House by a third of the regular number.
You think that's a good idea?
I think that is an idea that can be put on the table.
Mm.
That's an idea that can be put on the table, and they've got some mechanisms where they've also got it worked out who will get those seats and stuff like that. So you get at least so that in this case where for example the Labour Party has 30 seats, that you can increase the number in the House to 10, so that the number on the opposition benches, that you will have 10, as the previous caller suggested, and as I've heard a lot of people complain that there's no opposition and that they do not want a one-party state, even though at the end of the day, I would suggest that democracy was as spoken, and it may be one of the flaws in what we call democracy. But at the end of the day, if Barbados wanted an opposition, they would have voted for one. That's my contention.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I think that is one of the ideas that can be put on the table. I think you alluded to it earlier, that there's a whole set of... I personally think that our constitution is outdated.
Yeah.
And I think that the move towards the republic by as announced in the throne speech, I think the government should seriously take time right now to make some other fundamental changes to the constitution. I know they're also looking at local government. That's one that I've had a personal discussion with the chairman about, and I told him I really don't agree with it, but
okay.
You know, it's not in the way that it's not in some ways that is being proposed, but nonetheless,
Why don't you agree with that?
The truth is,
if you don't
know, I think there's need. I think there's a need for local government, but right now I don't think that's really the issue. The issue is that people want representation, and I think Barbados is too small for all of it for another layer of government. I don't think we need another layer of government. That's really my fundamental problem. I think what we really need is a full separation of powers. Really, executive functions as the executive fully and solely, and you have the House being the group of people who represent the people, speak for the people, but also have the check and balance on the executive. Again, I'm one of these people who don't believe if we're not going to have a Senate that will be elected, I think we can abolish the Senate. That's my personal view. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, you can also, if needs be, you could probably even increase the House to the numbers of the House if you want to abolish the Senate. But I really don't think we need another level of government. I think what has happened is that we have sometimes parliamentarians who become ministers. And because of the dint of work that they have to do to fulfill their roles as ministers, they sometimes find themselves having to, you know, having to split their attentions between servicing the constituency and also the huge amount of work that they have to do at the ministerial level. And yeah. So for me, I just believe if you have a full separation of powers where you have the executive and you know, functioning as the executive, similar to how to the American model, and you just have a unicameral House, I just think that works much better, and the people who are in the House will be the representatives of the people, and they will represent the people, and then you don't have all this some of the breakdowns that we have right now.
But the interesting thing about what you're proposing, these would be constitutional changes, and
yes, that's what I'm suggesting. Yes,
but what it would require is for the senators to actually agree to getting rid of the Senate, because you would need 2/3 of them to agree for a constitutional change. So some of these things are, you know, quite intriguing when we think about them. They may be useful and interesting suggestions, but can they get the votes? Will they get the support of those who sit in our Houses of Parliament? It's somewhat similar to the situation that we have across the region as well, in terms of this discussion about whether other countries will move towards becoming republics. And across the region, what we find is that some of the constitutions require referenda. So they would need to go to the people on this. And this may be what makes some of these changes a little bit difficult, that if it is that we want to recomprise or refashion the way our governments work, we need those within the government to consent to this. I'm hearing myself in your background.
Well, yeah, just only because I'm on a set mobile phone, so that may be the issue. But but remember, if you're the government, mm-hmm. remember in certainly in Barbados, the government has 12 seats in the House of in the Senate. So that's and so they really only need maybe just 2 more votes to be able to get the 2/3 majority. And if we are saying that this is the form that and if people agree that this is the way forward, I will hardly find it. And especially if you have independent senators, once a proper case has been made and all the proper research has been done, I don't think that it would be hard for any government to really be able to get the votes in the Senate. The question may be more difficult if you are in the House and you don't have the supermajority as the current administration has.
Okay.
But you know, these are some things that I would want to say I would like to see being considered. I think realistically there's a need for a more broad based discussion on our constitution, because as I said, I've been doing some research, personal research on constitutions, and I found the ones in Africa and Latin America who've had to go through internal conflict and have had to shape modern constitutions, offer far more protections to the people and give more power to the people than many of these constitutions that we have in the Caribbean. I think a lot of them are outdated,
yes.
And there's definitely a need for greater discussion on this matter.
Yeah, I agree with you. And in order to have that, people need to understand what is in the Constitution anyway. And I wonder the extent to which people do have this understanding. But I thank you for your call. Let's take another.